Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. And I am BC Dodge, and tonight I don't have pizza on my shirt. So we are already ahead of the game.
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will get right into this tonight because the amazing Imam was just running down his schedule with me, and I think he said he's going from Florida to Canada to Washington State. So once again, and now it holds true, and you all see it. If you don't, go check out his Facebook page. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the most traveled Imam that I know, Assalamu alaikum, Imam Azhar.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Brother Carl, and assalamu alaikum to all our listeners out there. We want to thank you all for your dedication and for giving us a few minutes of your time on a weekly basis, because today we have a lot to talk about. Carl, I want you to take us right into what we experienced last Friday, and you saw it via social media. I want you to tell us what happened and what was your reaction.
While I'm not familiar with the area where you reside, and actually other people that I know that I've met through you and through work and stuff, your local mosque was vandalized. It was burned, and the windows were broken, and it was vandalized. And for me personally, it's a series, and we're about to get into just a whole big hornet's nest here. You ready for this? So
I'm ready.
It's a series of things that have been happening. For me, it seems that, and I'm not trying to say one is worse than the other or one is better than the other, anything like that. All of this is absolutely 110% just atrocious. But there's bomb threats being called into JCC centers. There's Jewish cemeteries that are being vandalized. And I'm not trying to diminish what happened to your mosque, but there's mosques all over the country that are being burned and vandalized. And the only thing we saw last night during our president's first address to the nation in a joint session was, hey, knock that off. And these kinds of things are growing, and they're not stopping. Even last night, after President Trump made his speech, there were still more threats today.
Yep.
So this and, doesn't... go, please.
No. You're hitting it. You just summarized what we're trying to cover in the entire show today. So I'll start with the Tampa Mosque. So to all our listeners out there, I live in Tampa, Florida, and I live in an area categorized as New Tampa. And we have a masjid here which is literally not even a quarter of a mile from where I live. And we woke on Friday morning, bright and early, to learn via social media that someone at night, around 1:30 that morning, tried to set a fire in the mosque. So we don't want to go into the specifics, but they pipe bombed the outside of the mosque, trying to penetrate into the mosque through the doors. But all the doors were reinforced glass, shatterproof, bulletproof. And so they withstood the multiple blows that they got from each direction from people. Ultimately, there was 3 shots fired in one of the front doors. What they tried to do is light a fire within the mosque with a rope. That's what is assumed. And what happened was the fire alarm went off. The sprinkler systems went to work, and there was more water damage than it was fire damage. The good thing that happened that morning was immediately there was a press conference called. The mayor of the town, Mayor Bob Buckhorn, just want to give a shout out to him. He's truly a gentleman and an amazing person and a true leader for the city. And he came out to clarify and make sure that people understand that he stands for all Tampanians, everyone living in this city, everyone that he's proud to be a mayor. And you know what happened after that, Carl? I had to run off to Orlando to work for that weekend. But we had a meeting that Sunday with ACLU. The community turned out really great. And there was a fund drive, a GoFundMe account. You heard about that, right, Carl?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So what happens is now, for the listeners who may not know, every tragedy that's happening in our country, from the Jewish cemeteries being desecrated to the man who was shot in Kansas, we're going to talk about that, to mosques being lit and burnt down across the country, GoFundMe accounts are being set up right away. And what happened was this GoFundMe account was set up by one of the members of the mosque. And thus far, we are past the goal of 40,000, they're somewhere in the vicinity of the upper 60,000.
Alhamdulillah.
And the interesting thing, there was an article yesterday in the JTA website that the brother who was in charge of the GoFundMe account saw these weird trends of $18 and $26 and $70. And then he looked into the names and found out they were Jewish names. And a mass majority of the donations that came into this mosque was from the Jewish community. And they call it chai. And chai is something which is wishing long life to the person that they gifted. And this was a Jewish community coming out in solidarity after the Muslim community kickstarted a GoFundMe account for the tombstones that were knocked down in St. Louis. And then after that, now in Philadelphia, again, shout out to the brother and the sister Linda Sarsour and Tariq al-Masidi, who kind of kickstarted that. They got the backing of people like, Ellen DeGeneres, and we got the lady who wrote Harry Potter. What's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
And so over $100,000 was raised. And what's happening here, Carl, is that we're seeing a trend of human beings standing up for human beings, transcending the barriers of what is a religion, what is a race, what is a culture, because we understand as people of faith that it is critical for us to stand up for the values for entire humanity and the entire creation as we claim those values to be near and dear to ourselves. So this is amazing things going on. And, you talked about our president last night making a speech in Congress to the joint session and to the nation. The disturbing thing was he did point out the threats, and these were his words, threats to the Jewish community and the shooting in Kansas. And what he did was promise the country that we're going to move beyond this hate. But Carl, who did he miss out in that sentence?
The Muslims.
He missed out the Muslims. And the thing is that one thing we need to keep in mind for all of us, the listeners, our families, our friends, our communities, everyone that's in this country is part of the fabric of this country. You know one thing silly about me, Carl? When I was a young kid, I used to get clothing that had patches or stitched in embroidery of a symbol. It could be like Lacoste, it could be Nike, it could be whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, for some reason, like it, and I would start picking on it.
Okay.
And, when I would pick on that thread, I would ultimately pick on the sweater or the garment itself. And so by targeting the removal of those threads, I compromised the entire garment. In a similar fashion, you got that?
Yeah. No, I just, your analogy just became clear, and I was like, oh, this is good. Please continue.
So, you know, it's like we see something and we consider it to be a defect, like I did in my young age. And what I thought was, you know, removing it might make it better, but by removing it, it only caused harm to the entire garment. So what we're seeing here in our world today is the continuous threats on the Jewish community centers, on cemeteries, on Muslims, on Hindus, people of color, people of different race, people of different religions. And so there's two things that we need to understand here. Number one is the hadith and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in which he stated, "Man da'a ila hudan, kana lahu min al-ajri mithl ujuri man tabi'ahu la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'a." Did you understand that, Carl?
I was able to understand one word.
Okay, I'm going to make it more difficult for you.
Oh, good.
"Man da'a ila dhalala, kana lahu min al-wizri min al-awzari man tabi'ahu la yanqusu dhalika min awzarihim shay'a." أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was just kidding with you. I'm going to translate it.
I picked out three words in that.
Oh, so you got four in total. Look at that. So this hadith is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Whoever invites towards something good, something righteous, something just, something noble," the words could go on, "he will get the reward equivalent to the reward of the person that follows them, without any decrease or diminish in their rewards." Now, understand on a worldly base, if I were to tell you, "Hey, Carl, hook me up, you know, send customers my way, I give you a percentage," right? Make sense? So what happens is I have to lose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to take a loss in order to take a gain. That's how the business world's about. I'll tell Carl, "Carl will bring 10 customers to me. If I'm charging them $100 each, $20 is going to Carl. Am I gaining? Yes or no?"
Yeah, I mean, ultimately you will, because you're going to gain new customers in the hopes that they'll be repeat customers. And so you'll start gaining that. And so the $10 you gave me is essentially nothing at the end of the day.
Well, guess what? You made it easy for me, because I was going to give you 20. You said 10, so that's it. I'm making more.
I thought I heard you say $10. Dang it.
But hey, I'm also losing some, right?
Yeah, that makes sense? Yeah.
So in this here, the hadith says, "You create a trend of goodness. Whoever continues it, whoever replicates it, whoever repeats it, whoever starts something on a way new level with it, you will continue to get the full reward that they are receiving for what they are doing without any diminish or decrease in their reward." So Allah will give them 100 rewards, for example, and give you the 100 plus the 100 for you starting it. So just say you started the trend of the GoFundMe account. You got 100 rewards, and someone else started. They got 100 plus you got their 100 also, which is an equivalent. So you're going to continue to get the growth as people continue to do good. And whoever invites towards wrongdoing, towards animosity, towards hatred, towards division, towards destruction, towards rebellion, they will get the burden of the sin equivalent to the burden of every person that follows them, and it will never end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I feel bad saying this, but essentially you're describing karma. So, you know, it when I do something good, you know, I get a reward, and then somebody builds on that and they get a reward, plus I get some of their reward. Pyramid scheme, if you will. But the same thing works for bad. If somebody does bad and somebody builds on their bad, and it's essentially the concept of karma.
The concept of karma is you're getting in return for what you did. Where here Allah's saying you're getting the same exact for what you started. So you're going to get the good rewards back in the total that the other person is receiving. So it's actually a duplication.
Right.
And it's just amazing, because you said the word karma. And so even people who believe in karma believe that you do good and you get good, you do bad and you get bad. So I ask yourself a question, Carl. After all these things that we see and hear, what has instigated people to that level that they were willing to? Because remember, the mosque fire, as I could just attest to, the gates are locked every night after Isha prayer, and they're open in Fajr, and it's all fenced around. But the morning when they came to open up for the fire trucks and everyone to come in, the gates were still locked. The person jumped the fence, put himself in a situation or herself where there are multiple cameras, and they set off the alarm. They could have been arrested. They could have been put in jail, but they didn't. What is pushing people to do these things is the question I want to understand today. What's your thought?
You know, honestly, I don't have one. I have the concern of normalization, which is, you know, oh, it's just another bomb threat called in. Oh, it's just another mosque that's burned. But I'm actually with you on this, because these kinds of behaviors are completely unacceptable. And we haven't seen, I mean, yes, we've seen, you know, we've seen mosques with, you know, pig body parts and pig blood. And you know, we should clear up something right here, right now, which is that Muslims are not supermen or superwomen, and pork is not our kryptonite. It's not that we can't touch it. It's not that we can't. We just don't eat it. That's it. If you offer us bacon, it doesn't offend us. So let's stop with that. But going back to your question, it's not. There's a normalization and an acceptance and people being emboldened by the last person that did it. And I honestly don't know why this is okay. And I actually want to jump back just for a second, because you said something and I want to make sure that it doesn't get glossed over and it doesn't get lost, which is that you said your mosque there in Tampa has bulletproof doors on it. Now, I don't know when those were installed or if your mosque was built later and those were part of the initial, you know, building plans. Or maybe it's a Florida thing that they're bulletproof because they're hurricane proof. I don't know. But the thing is that you constructed a mosque with that thought in mind. And that really bothers me a lot. Now, before you start, I want to put a note in here for our listeners, because I know this will be the second podcast that they will hear it in. I actually live next door to a hospital, and it's the only hospital in our area that has a helipad. So if you guys are listening to this and you occasionally hear a helicopter in the background, just say Bismillah, because it's somebody being brought in. So continue. Yes, bulletproof doors on the mosque.
So actually, thank you for pointing that out, and I will clarify that. I shouldn't have said bulletproof, shatterproof glass. Because of hurricane, the possibility of hurricanes, the masjid is built in a very nice community, which is somewhat not the tradition in many cities and towns. Usually we build mosques in places where, you know, where we can find cheaper land for a bigger plot for future development. But this is built in a very nice neighborhood, surrounded by homes and schools. It's a very nice area. But of course, we're in a forested area, and the possibilities of flying debris during the case of a hurricane. So what they did was they built a shatterproof. And what happened was the perpetrator or perpetrators tried to break every glass door, but they couldn't. But that one door where they did shoot the holes in, there were only holes. It didn't shatter the entire window. So thank you for clarifying that. As for pork, and thank you for saying that, I was actually in an interfaith meeting on Friday at the founded church, and I was asked the same question, and I gave the same answer. It's not kryptonite to us. We just can't eat it, you know?
Yeah, so, but I don't know. I mean, whatever.
No. Well, that was a good point. And, you know, going back to this thing about, you know, I'll give you the answer, Carl. The normalization is a good word. What I feel is when wrong will be seen as right and right will be seen as wrong. And that's the type of world we're living in. That's why it's imperative that we constantly drill and reinforce in ourselves, in our households, in our families, in our communities. What are the values? What is goodness? What is kindness? Because I fear very soon, if we don't support what is good, then good will be seen tomorrow as evil. Because think about it. This guy was ready to put himself in this position that his face could be on a mugshot very soon. He'll be incarcerated, all because he felt what he was doing was the right thing. Now, I don't know if you heard the story about a white and a white female and male, along with some others. They were driving around an African-American kid's birthday party in pickup trucks with Confederate flags, and they were one was waving guns, and one was shouting somewhat of death slurs. It was recorded, and there was police officers there. Yesterday, I believe, they were both convicted. I think he got 13 years in prison, and she got 6 or 8 years in prison, and they cried to the top of their lungs, but you know what? This is not acceptable. But let's take this and put it into one scenario. And the scenario I want to talk about right now, Carl, is the scenario of Adam Purrington, the guy who shot 2 Indian Hindu engineers and students who work for Garmin in the Austin bar in Kansas City. I think I'm laying it out as clear as I could, saying, go back to your country. And he states after, when he was turned in and, the police, interrogated him, he said that he thought they were Iranians. Now, Carl, if there were 2 aliens in the Applebee that you were sitting in, would you go shoot them?
No.
From Mars or Venus or Saturn or from the new planets that they discovered? Does it give anyone the right to go and shoot someone?
No. And, I actually think that analogy of an alien from outer space is really good. Because for me personally, with my brain and the way I'm wired to look at things, if I saw an alien from outer space sitting in Applebee's across, a couple tables down from me, I would totally walk over and strike up a conversation because I'd want to learn more about that person.
See, look at that, Carl. If we were to shoot every alien, E.T. wouldn't be a famous movie.
Exactly. And nobody would ever be able to phone home ever again.
Exactly. So this is the thing that I don't understand. So this guy gets up. He walks over to these 2 students and 2 workers of their engineers for Garmin. Sidin Vaz was killed. Alok is still recovering. And you know what? One side you have this man by the name of Adam who is adamant to kill. And on the other side you have the guy named Ian who is right now trying to recover in hospital. He was shot twice in the chest, once in the arm. And he tried to intervene and say, stop that. This is wrong. And when he tried to grab this terrorist, he actually got shot. He thought he had counted all the bullets from the magazine. He thought the guy was out, but apparently he wasn't. But we're living in a crazy world, Carl.
It is.
We're living in a crazy world. And that's why I said the hadith, because whoever starts something good right now, doesn't matter who you are, if you start a trend of goodness, a trend of inclusion, a trend of educating people about the other, a trend of standing up for the other, you're going to gain rewards and you're going to set a trend that will last for years. But if we let it fall by the wayside and we let people, and I'm not going to say their names, continue to spike up hate and fear and dread people and instill terror in their hearts, make them get out there in an intoxicated fashion and start shooting up people because of they're the other, we're going to go down in the wrong place. And I don't think there's going to be a book of history that will write what we did wrong. And you know what, Carl? I could tell you this by firsthand experience. I faced the same thing that Adam did to Sirvas and Alok. And I'll tell you the story. Sunday morning after Fajr, we had a little program. And before going home, I stopped off in Dunkin' Donuts to pick up some donuts for the kids. And, my wife wants her caramel iced latte, so we get all that. And I was standing in line. I was in my juba. And a few people behind me started shouting, idiot, terrorist, get out of this country, go home. I can remember the location. I still remember everything very distinctly. And everyone kept on looking back at him. And they knew exactly who was speaking to. Carl, who do you think he was speaking to?
I would assume you.
And I assumed the same. I smiled. I kept on looking forward. I didn't look back. And then the manager, and God bless her soul, because she called him. And as they knew who he was. Apparently, he must be a frequent customer. And she gave him his Morning Joe, medium cup. And he said, oh, thank you, because he just bypassed the whole line, and he was trying to take out money. She goes, no, it's on the house. Take it. You know, you could go now. She dissolved the situation, and she prevented it from escalating by giving him what he wanted and getting him out of the store. So, you know, I thank her for that, but I was terrorized, and I'm not going to lie and say I wasn't scared. I was scared because I didn't even look at him in the face until he came in front of me, in front of the 3-4 people in front of me, and picked up his coffee and walked out. But it's scary that you're just doing your thing. You're just, you know, enjoying yourself, and this goes down. I don't know. You tell me, Carl, what's your thoughts about that?
No, you're 100% right that it is a scary situation. And I mean, my wife in particular, she works with the public. And she wears a hijab, and I honestly, you know, from the moment she kisses me goodbye in the morning, from the moment that we finally go to sleep at night, I worry about her. And it's just, and realistically, I mean, we live in DC, yo.
Yeah.
So you would think that this is, and so, you know, I worry about her. I worry about her a lot. And it's simply because of this unrealistic, it's so bizarre. And it's really the only word that I have that is PG-13 enough to use is just bizarre. It's I'm a student of history. I love history. And I actually saw on Twitter today, Linda Sasore, I guess she's in town here, took a photo at the Holocaust Museum, which, you know, you want to talk history, that's history. And she posted it to her Twitter account. And right away, people were like, oh, well, you forgot socialism in your thing, and you forgot this, and you forgot that. No, what about this on your list? And she responded with, this was inside the Holocaust Museum. Are you saying the Holocaust Museum is wrong? And of course, the situation was, you know, immediately de-escalated because of that. But at the same time, that's history. And it was this current sentiment that we're seeing that led up to a great atrocity like the Holocaust. Correct. And I don't understand. I really don't. It's so bizarre to me. How did we get here? Why is this okay?
What happens is, Carl, history is repeated when we move backward. History is recorded when we move forward. I think humanity, it's like a marriage. You see the beach, you see the shore, it looks amazing. Siesta Key, just FYI, was nominated the best beach in America, not too far from us. And Clearwater Beach was previously the best beach in America, which also is not too far from us.
Siesta Key?
Siesta Key. It's
sleep
beautiful.
Here?
It's so serene. It's beautiful. You could just sit there and just disconnect from the world. So marriage is like that. You just see a beautiful beach, nice sand, nice water, pleasant. And you're like, you know, let's go for a swim. Now, the deeper you get into the ocean or into the Gulf, then you see what the true water is, the true nature, right? There's ups and downs. There's storms. There's sun. There's boats. There's ships. There's sharks. Meaning in a marriage, we're going to go through a lot in life. The thing is not to get scared and go backwards, because, you know, going back, you'll have to face the same things again. But if you move forward and get across the other side, maybe there'll be more, maybe there'll be less, but you'll get somewhere new. So every person in marriage, they're going halfway and then going back, starting again, going halfway, going back. Actually, they don't go halfway the second time, they go the quarter way. The third time, they just walk and stroll on the beach and don't go inside in a similar fashion. In a similar fashion, what's happening is that humanity has gone so far and they fear for some odd reason what's coming up. So we're wanting to go backwards and we cannot go backwards because there's a lot of darkness behind us. And to summarize what your fears are, Carl, it is categorized by our judicial system as hate crime. Hate crime is biases against race, religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity, national origin, or disability. And did you know, Carl, in 2015, we saw an unprecedented spike in hate crimes?
I would totally believe it. And this touches on another thing for me, and we don't have to get into it, but for me, it's there are people being charged with crimes when they do these kinds of things, but some of them aren't being charged with hate crimes. And that bothers me. It bothers me a lot.
It does, because even for Adam Purrington, who is right now under trial and the FBI is investigating it as a hate crime, after all the witnesses, including Ian, who was shot, and he's Caucasian, he's white, presumably maybe even Christian. He even says what that man said when he started shooting these two Indians. He said, go back to your country. He actually stated after, because Adam guy, who was the perpetrator, he drove 70 miles after he shot those people to a Applebee's and asked the bartender if he could stay at their house with her husband and her. And at nighttime, he had confessed to what he just did, and he was turned in. But someone stated in an article I read in Los Angeles Times that his mental health deteriorated over a year after the passing of his father. But this isn't a mental issue. If you are identifying two people of a color that bothers you, you identify a country that bothers you, you're holding a gun and a weapon and you're using it because something bothers you, I have to say, I'm not a judge, I'm not the jury, but this isn't mental health. And white Americans committed the most hate crimes in 2015. 48.4% of hate crimes were committed by white Caucasian people, and 24.3% were committed by black or people of color, contrary to the notion that's being set out there. This isn't, again, to put down a color or a race or a people. I love, and I won't forget what Bill Clinton said, and you could check out what Bill Clinton said on my website on imamazhar.com or iazhar.com. In the features and highlights, there is a almost hour-long speech that Bill Clinton gave here prior to the elections, and when some hecklers were taken out of the rally because of them shouting slurs and derogatory words to Bill Clinton, he said, guys, don't say anything to them. Don't be mean to them. If we want an inclusive America, we need everyone. Because for too long, they've been used as pawns. The Russians are coming. The Japanese are coming. The Muslims are coming. A segment of our society has been used and abused by people over and over again. And we have to have sympathy and love for them. We need to reach out to each other. We need to share our understanding and experiences and let the other decide by their own experience, not by others telling them who the other is, if that makes sense. I use a lot of word others because I don't want to say Caucasians or people living in rural areas of America, but I hope everyone gets it. We need to reach out, not to those people who are willing to be our allies, who are willing to stand alongside with us, who are willing to support us in our cause to be humans and to practice our religion freely. We need to reach out to those who are disturbed by the presence of us or other people. They're disturbed by other religions, they're disturbed by other practices, they're disturbed by other cultures and races. We need to reach out and engage, because America will not win with one side or the other. America will win when we all win together.
Amen to that. the Muslims are coming and they're bringing hummus with them, so everybody get your pita chips and we'll be good.
Thank you. You made me hungry now.
Oh, sorry. I had something else I was going to say, and now it's totally skipped my brain, but that's okay. Yes, checking the clock, I see that we are just about at the end of our time, so I will go ahead and ask you if you have any final thoughts you'd like to share.
My final thoughts is, Carl, every day we wake up, let us remember it was in the conditions that plagued the surroundings of Arabia at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that gave him hope, that gave him a sense of resolve, that inspired him, that made him believe that today may be the day that we can turn things around. The struggle to turn things around is never an easy one, but it's one that we all need to take from this moment on and hope and pray and believe and be inspired that the help of Allah comes when we take the first step. So I call on all our listeners, let's take the first step. Let's bridge the void. I had a plan I wanted to discuss, but time is out. And we'll talk about the plan next week, Carl.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Imam Azhar is off to another meeting and probably to find hummus between point A and B. And while I do not have pizza sauce on my shirt right now, oddly enough, I'm about to go eat pizza, so I may end up with that there eventually this evening. We thank you for downloading. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for your comments and likes. If you have something that you'd like to Imam to talk about, or if you have a question, or you just want to share your thoughts and say, good job, feel free to drop us an email down at the email address down below, or just leave a comment on Facebook, because that's why we're here. Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank Imam Azhar for taking the time to join us this evening.
You're welcome, sir.
And until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.